Really honored to be taking part in this discussion alongside so many established and also up-and-coming researchers. I want to give special thanks, of course, to the Synopsis Network, I suppose. I've been working with members of that community, particularly junior members, on aspects of this research topic that I'm going to describe a bit today. That topic relates mainly to what I've called the extrusion of China's political legal system. It's a project that looks mainly at how the justice and judicial parts of the Communist Party-led party state have an impact and are increasingly having an impact on global affairs and are engaging with other states and societies outside of China. So some of those findings certainly inform some of what I'm going to say today. Generally, with respect to the topic of this workshop, mapping China's global footprint is a fairly daunting proposition. I know that this panel is focused mainly on, in addition to the research of the presenters, trying to get at some of the bigger issues with regards to how we think about the Leninist party state. And so I'd like to raise just a few points on that theme right at the start before getting into the political legal discussion. Some of these will be obvious, perhaps are made with the junior researchers more in mind. Obviously, there have been numerous scintillating discussions concerning the impact of China's United Front organizations and their engagement with societies, particularly in Europe. I would say that at this point, the terrain of the United Front is becoming increasingly known, thanks to the efforts of many of the researchers who have presented both during this workshop and then the previous 2 years of workshops as well. And at the same time, that is in and of itself is a significant research achievement, but perhaps it's also important to think about some of the other ways through which China engages with the world and to push on a bit in that direction. In most of our imaginations, the BRI, which, as was just mentioned, is a kind of large and amorphous and uncoordinated concept, gets mentioned. The BRI itself, I think, raises what is a particularly important discussion concerning China's global role today. You see it a lot in discussions around the BRI, which is, to what extent is China's international behavior centralized and coordinated and directed, and to what extent is it not? Is it a sort of output of various uncoordinated parts all pursuing various local and bureaucratic interests? That's not a question that I propose to answer today, but I think it is one that is very relevant to this discussion. The second is that within a Leninist system, thinking historically about the origins of Leninism and communist parties and other forms of political organization outside of the liberal democratic West, so to speak. Again, I think what's very important to bear in mind is that many parts of the party state are engaged in some way with international engagement, with the reshaping of the international environment in which the party state operates. And so if you're a young researcher or a more junior researcher, you could look in a sense at almost any part of the party state and find some international dimension. There, as we know, are some parts that have a good deal more to do with foreign affairs, for example, than others. The foreign affairs system, China's consular system, the military, the role of SOEs and multinational corporations in pursuing China's foreign interests, and of course the United Front itself, intelligence and counter-espionage forces, external propaganda and disinformation, think tanks, and so on. I sort of run through that list just to highlight this point again, that the international dimensions of the Chinese Communist Party really exist across multiple bureaucracies and across multiple systems. And that terrain is, I think, far less known than some of the specific and well-studied examples. So for the purposes of my discussion, I have been particularly interested in the political legal system. And for me, this started several years ago, looking at China's international engagement and finding, again, what to many might be a quite obvious pattern of officials outside of the diplomatic corps, outside of the world of professional diplomacy, engaging with other governments, other societies in virtually every area. And in particular, it was the secretary of the Political Legal Commission, Guo Shengkun, who suddenly appeared on the global stage and was traveling widely, including in Europe, in Asia, throughout Central Asia. And what this all meant was very difficult to discern. You'd get the official readouts on both sides, agreements or statements about cooperation, about focus on bilateral law and security in China's relations with other countries. And these, to me, sounded like very important agreements, law and security, justice, but yet aren't necessarily at the forefront of how we think about how China is impacting the world. And so that was a kind of avenue, I thought, to an interesting research project and a broader discussion. And then I encountered the political legal system again when looking at the formation of China's National Security Commission or State Security Commission, both in terms of overlap of personnel and also in terms of functionally how those bureaucracies were becoming intertwined. And in more recent work, I've been seeing the political legal system again in the Ministry of Public Security and the role that it plays in pursuing economic fugitives, i.e. those who are accused of economic crimes like corruption overseas. And some of us, many of us maybe, will have heard of Operation Fox Hunt and Operation Skynet. But these are China's efforts to pursue, wherever they may have fled to, those who are accused of economic crimes. And as we know, in a context like China, the line between economic crimes and other kinds of crimes, including political crimes, including the sort of crime, quote unquote, of being part of perhaps the wrong political faction or grouping, can be quite blurred. So in any event, the political legal system is operating more and more outside of China's borders. So what is the political legal system? I think that we need to, as is the case in good research, go back to some of the founding documents that define that system. And most recently, in January of 2019, the Chinese Communist Party Central Committee had published a new set of work regulations concerning the party's political legal work. And those regulations both define the component parts of the political legal system, so institutions engaged in, or institutions composing the judiciary, the procuratorate, the public security apparatus, and national security as well as the justice administration, including prisons and the prison system, altogether comprise China's political legal system. And the main tasks, as we might expect, are to carry out work under the strong leadership of the Party Central Committee with Comrade Xi Jinping as the core, to promote the construction of a safe China and a rule of law, and to promote comprehensive and deep reforms in the political and legal fields. And so for the remainder of the presentation that I'm going to give, please keep that in mind, because to my mind, what that means is that anything that any party or state organization within that system says about what it's doing is important for us to pay attention to, but at the same time, in a sense, is trumped by this overarching directive that it is the interests of the party that remain at the forefront at all times. And those who do study Leninist systems in a comparative context will be well aware. This sounds a lot like state security. No doubt this is really the true meaning of state security, that all institutions, party and state, serve to protect the position of the party and its leadership. But again, this can be lost for all of the reasons that we've covered in terms of looking at China's discursive impact on the world when we focus on more specific things that institutions and intellectuals and leaders might say. Still, at the core, so to speak, what we're talking about is the role of the political legal system in protecting the party and protecting China's interests, including national security, overall social stability, and in a sense, feelings. And this is a very interesting part of the work regulations, the feelings that the Chinese people have about the stability and safety of their society. So it's a legitimating tool as well. Now, from an international perspective, what's been happening is that when the Political Legal Work Conference occurs once a year, as it does, at least since 2019, part of what's been said, in addition to more or less reiterations of some of the basic tenets or principles that I've just mentioned, is that the political legal system is to play a public service role in establishing an overseas safety guarantee system. And what this means is something that I'm actually still working out. It sounds a lot like the consular security or safety system for overseas Chinese citizens, but it's of course very interesting when the political legal system and its leaders begin discussing these same ideas, because again, then what they would bring to bear on solving these problems would be the Ministry of Public Security, the justice system, the judiciary, etc. And so there's a kind of potential expansion going on here. And also recently in April 2020, Guo Shengkun, who's the secretary of the Central Political Legal Commission, announced the creation of a new organization, the Peaceful China Construction Coordination Small Group, which is kind of interesting name. And one of the main points that Guo was quoted as making was that this new small group would play a role in promoting, I suppose is the best word, a vision of China's system as having advantages in the areas of governance and security. And so this again kind of sounds like a shift toward a more international perspective, where China's system will be promoted on the basis of the security that it both provides for its own citizens and then potentially in terms of the role that it plays abroad as well. Now, there have been a few changes within the system, one of which I think is very important and bears noting. As somebody who tries to look closely at the institutions, this one is, to me, quite important. The Central Political Legal Commission itself is fairly well known. This was the sort of institutional base of Zhou Yongkang, who was famously or infamously purged by Xi Jinping at the start of Xi's tenure as General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party. Its role was sort of demoted as a result, and some of its functions peeled off and placed under the National Security Commission, which was newly created by Xi. But since then, in 2018, along with the Chinese Communist Party Politburo Standing Committee's new emphasis on the rule of law, there has been a new institution created called, maybe somewhat inelegantly, the National Comprehensive Rule by Law Commission, or Governing the Country by Law Commission, which sits over the Central Political Legal Commission. And I think makes very visible the fact that Xi Jinping now personally plays a role in directing China's political legal affairs, which again would have been in a sense always the case, but at the same time, the line of or chain of command, so to speak, is now much clearer. And what the Central Political Legal Commission does is serve as a kind of office or a coordinating body for decisions made by this new body that Xi has established. And so covering all of these developments is really meant to lead to probably the most relevant point anyway for this discussion, which is that as this political legal system under the Politburo Standing Committee of the Chinese Communist Party is being reorganized and in a sense is gaining force or regaining force after the fall or the purge of Zhou Yongkang, it is also, in terms of its mission and in terms of the overarching vision of its leadership, increasingly an international body, or a body, again, that has international or global dimensions and thus plays a role in stamping China's footprint on the rest of the world. Now, I've had the opportunity to work very closely now with a small group of researchers at Synopsys, and their work, much more than my own, is showing how this political legal system, through agreements, through cooperation in areas like policing, but in other areas as well, like training of members of the judiciary and think tank work. So shaping rules and norms around ideas like justice and law abroad. They are showing how all of these processes are unfolding in Europe. And so I don't want to front run their research, which will be coming out soon, but they've managed to hone in on a couple of key case studies, both in post-Soviet Europe, which to some might be a more kind of predictable outcome, but also in Western Europe. And so I think what that research demonstrates then, to a large extent, is that we may be years behind in terms of our assessment of China's impact on the rest of the world. Because if the head of China's judiciary or the head of China's procuratorate or the head of the political legal system itself are traveling the world, meeting with counterparts in other countries, establishing mechanisms for cooperation and dialogue and exchange, then we would expect to see some sort of outcome. And I know that people who work on this question from a sort of preliminaries perspective have honed in on some of the most obvious cases, like joint policing in Italy and a handful of other European countries, or recent counterterrorism joint exercises held in Serbia. But in addition to that ground level perspective, where I think this research is going is developing a more comprehensive perspective on what is now a multi-year history of agreements and meetings and efforts on China's side, certainly, to reshape the international legal environment in ways, as one might expect. You know, this isn't any big revelation or conspiracy, but that reflect China's interests abroad. And so what does this all mean? I think just in closing, to give a couple of statements here, to raise a couple of questions. You know, one which I've foreshadowed a bit is, it is perhaps worth looking closely at the political legal system itself and its dependent organizations and comparing what is said internally about the role of those institutions and then what is being said externally as a way of understanding, if nothing else, at least what some of the key goals of these institutions abroad actually are. Another would be, you know, China's political legal system right now is going through a process of what its own leaders have described as a Yan'an-style rectification, which should make a lot of people's hair stand on end, and I'm sure it has. So the question there is, what impact will this rectification have on the political legal system, both inside of China and outside of China? Follow-up questions from there would be, what would the impact of the system and its extrusion be on global norms? And for those who are listening from the perspective of the public interest of other countries as well, what is the impact on sovereignty? What is China's vision of how the international dimensions of its political legal system, and how will these impact other countries in ways that may brush up against how sovereignty is defined by those countries? So it's a big conversation. I hope through this research to contribute to it. I'm sure that the researchers who I'm working with will contribute to it in powerful ways. And it's just one more example of some of the ways in which we are mapping China's global footprint through new research. Thank you.